Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hello and welcome to another Ars Blog Arscast, right here on arsblog.oleole.com. Welcome to a new show. I'm going to try something new this week. I'm going to try and do it all in one take, like that Steadicam shot from Goodfellas. You know, where they go along through the kitchen in 6 minutes and it's all in one take job. It's going to be like that, except Arscast form. No editing, no chopping bits out, no making mistakes and going back over them. Which, now that I think about it, people will be sitting there listening, you know, he actually edits that crap that he puts out on a Friday? That goes through some kind of vetting process? It's making me look bad. So, yeah, but we have no Arscast, no Ars Chat. See, I could have taken that out, redone that whole bit there. There'll be no Ars Chat this week because we don't have any guest, basically. Everyone's gone. People are gone away for Easter or unavailable. And, well, I did only ask about three people. Okay, one person. But I only got back from Spain on Wednesday night. I just didn't have time. What can I tell you? And as you might hear from my voice, it's slightly gone or going. Anyway, so there is no Ars Chat this week. Nevertheless, we will be covering the game against Man City last week, the Villarreal game in midweek. Also, we'll be looking ahead to the Wigan game tomorrow and the Villarreal game next week. So plenty to get on with, as well as that. We've got some news. George is here with the tale of the unexpected. The man in the bar is in there somewhere. We've got some late night TV discussion and all kinds of bits and pieces going on this twitchy Arscast. So, since the last Arscast and this one, well, last Saturday we welcomed back Emmanuel Adebayor. We also welcomed back Cesc Fabregas and Theo Walcott, which was good. And they all made good contributions to our win over Manchester City. Theo, will address him first. I thought he looked positive, dynamic, strong, and took a right kicking. And hopefully, that kind of thing. Arsene Wenger's talking about him being a marked man. But that kind of thing is going to toughen him up, isn't it? It's going to make him learn to get out of the way of horrible Argentinian fullbacks. You know, you got to learn your lessons when they come along. But obviously, Fabregas and Adebayor were the two that made the big difference to things last Saturday. Both goals scored by Adebayor and with both assists from Fabregas. The first from a free kick and the second a little ball dinked over the top. And Adebayor did very, very, very well to get it past the keeper and in. So two good goals. And you sense a certain something about Adebayor that perhaps somebody might just have had a little quiet word in his ear about, you know, when he comes back, he's going to have to, you know, do a bit more and work a bit harder. And, you know, earlier in the season, he wasn't necessarily doing that. And, you know, now that we have Arshavin up there and Eduardo up there and Van Persie up there, despite the fact that they're injured all the time, those two. But, you know, they're there and Bentner's there. You know, there's this competition now for places. And if competition for places and players being a little bit more motivated results in what we've got from Adebayor in the last two games, well, it's a... I don't think anybody can complain, can they? I can't remember the word I was going to use there, you see. Now, normally I would have gone back and edited that and said it was a... and then just redone that whole bit. But it's good evidence. Evidence, is that the right word? That motivation and competition for places is a positive thing, in the most part. Provided you have players that react to that. You might have some players that go, oh, there's too many players here, I'm off, I'm leaving. Thank you very much. So 2-0 over Manchester City, and the second half in particular was quite dominant for Arsenal. The first half they did have a few chances, but, you know, they've got Mark Hughes, who is a cunt, and they've got Craig Bellamy, who is a cunt, and your lad Zabaleta, the Argentinian fullback, the one who gave Theo a going over, I'm beginning to think he's a bit of a cunt as well. He could be one of those guys, if he sticks around long enough, could be a proper cunt. Right up there with Craig Bellamy. I know it's hard. Right up there with Mark Hughes. It's hard to think that, you know, in a short space of time, he could reach that kind of level. But I suspect he's got that sort of potential. So 2-0, 3 points. And, of course, everything went sort of our way on Sunday when it came to the game involving Aston Villa. They were 2-0 up. And you're thinking, I don't know about this. Was it 2-0 or 2-1? I think it was 2-1. Yeah, it was 2-1 because Ronaldo scored first. Then they went 2-1 up and you're thinking, even though it was mathematically still possible and is probably mathematically still possible, winning the league is out of reach for us this season. We have to be realistic about that. So my whole thinking on it was, right, well, United winning it or Chelsea winning it or Liverpool winning it, whatever. They're all cunts, right? They all are. So I'm not interested in Aston Villa doing well or helping anybody else out. I know the Mug Smasher might not like me for saying this, but I wanted Manchester United to at least get a draw out of that game because that gives us a 6-point lead over Aston Villa. And that makes our life easier. I don't really care about making anyone else's life easier. I want us to finish at least in the top four. So if we've got a little bit of breathing space, so a mistake that's made along the way doesn't really cost us that much, well then, I think that's what we've got to be more concerned with at this time. So United scoring a late winner was no good for the Mug Smasher and Liverpool's ambitions of lifting the title for the first time in, what was it, 70, 80 years, something like that. Didn't do him much good, but to us, it meant that the weekend was good. It means we now have a 6-point gap over Aston Villa, and when you consider where we were just a few weeks ago, that's potentially a 14-point turnaround in less than a month, something like that. Is it? Can't quite remember the time frame. Maybe a little bit more. But from a time when we were sitting 8 points, potentially 8 points behind Villa, we're now 6 ahead. So while our form has been excellent and consistent, Villa's collapse has been rather dramatic and enjoyable from our point of view. I've got friends who are Villa fans as well. So it's, this is quite enjoyable, I have to say. So then we went to Spain, and I went to Spain in midweek and had a fantastic trip away. Flew into Barcelona, stayed with some friends, drove down with some of the Arsblog boys through torrential, horrendous rain on the way down. It was really not Spanish at all. It was quite Irish, the weather, you have to say. And we got to the hotel in Valencia, and it rained and thundered and lightninged, and it looked like we were in for a very, very wet night. Well, by the time we were leaving the hotel, it had all sort of calmed down. Got the train up to Villarreal, wandered through the town, had a few beers here and there. We stopped in one bar. We were going, well, where will we stop? Oh, there's a Union bar there, which they weren't particularly interested in having us in. So we walked into another one, had just a big San Miguel sign outside, and it was entirely full of Villarreal fans sitting around drinking beers and playing table football and smoking in bars, which is strange, of course. So we went in there and had a few beers and a few songs with the guys, the Villarreal guys, who were all terribly nice, really, and was chatting away with a few of their fans, which was quite funny because they're all going, wow, your Spanish is so good. It's remarkable. I'm going, come on. My Spanish is terrible. It really is. But, of course, the ability to speak a foreign language and your fluency in that language increases in direct proportion with the amount of alcohol you have consumed. So, previous to kickoff, having had a good few beers, I was fluent, fully, grammatically perfect in Spanish, and, I suspect, any other language you might wish to speak to me in. I could have held my held court, I suppose. The game itself, the first half wasn't great, was it? It wasn't particularly good. The injuries will come through a little bit later on. The performance wasn't great in the first half. Senna's goal was a real corker of a goal. I don't think you can blame Almunia. He could have been closed down a bit quicker. I'm not quite sure who it was that should have closed him down. Maybe Danielson, who has this a little bit of a habit of standing off players or watching them run past him and things like that. But when a guy does that and puts it in the top corner from 25, 30 yards, it's a cracking strike. Obviously, you'd like a player to get in front of him, but hats off, it was a very good goal. Now, the view, as you might have read on the blog, the view wasn't particularly good. We were behind the goal, quite central. But there was a big iron bar, which was holding the net in place. And the net, I understand the need for the net. But you've been at games before where the net sort of fades into the background. After a couple of minutes, you get used to it really, really quickly. But this was like, it was made of the cheapest chicken wire they could find. It was pretty difficult. And the iron bars sort of ran across either the top, sort of between the six-yard line and the edge of the penalty area. So that kind of view was being blocked out. So you're ducking and diving and standing up and looking down. And, you know, the goal, amazing as it was, I could only really, really appreciate having seen it on the TV. Because the ball came into Adebayor and then, you know, he sort of disappeared. The iron bar was there. And then his foot sort of flicked above the iron bar and then someone jumped on my face. And that's how I knew it was a goal. Because it was just sort of impossible to see. It was nice to see Robert Pires again, who came over and had a bit of a clap for the Arsenal fans who were singing his song. So that was very nice. I don't know. I don't really remember. There was one other shot, wasn't there, I think we had. And Senna had one which whistled just wide. I could see that very well from the other end. But 1-1 is a good result. And I was reading the papers, as I was saying on the blog as well, reading the papers, and they were saying, oh, it's Villarreal were excellent, and this is no real advantage to Arsenal, but the away goal is a big, big advantage. 1-1 you take any time. Going back home without the away goal, while still an eminently achievable result, it just makes it a little bit easier if we can take that away goal with us, because a 0-0 will do us, and 1-0 obviously would do us, you know, but if we can keep a clean sheet, you know, we're through to the semi-finals, and obviously those are still up for grabs. The other game, Man United and Porto, was quite amusing, seeing the scores come in, and especially the late goal for Porto. However, I think United will tear them a new one when they get to Portugal, but we'll wait and see what happens. But overall, a fantastic trip to Spain, and it was great crack, and flew back from Barcelona last night after a day of pretty much eating and drinking. So it was all very tiring, and that's what's happened since the last Arscast and this Arscast. We got the train back to Valencia, which was really interesting. They were saying they put on a special train to go back from the station in Villarreal right back into the centre of Valencia, and it was just full of Arsenal fans singing songs, and the We're On Our Way song got a very good rendition, and lots of classic songs, and the old Harry Redknapp's got a Twitch song to the tune of We're On Our Way. So that became the fun part of the evening. There is a fantastic video that one of the lads took, and hopefully we can get it. He's a bit of a, what's the right word, technophobe, or a Luddite might be the right word, and I mean that with the greatest of respect. He's finding it a little difficult to transfer the video off his phone, but we'll put it up on the blog as soon as we can get that sorted out. So there you go. That's what's happened between the last Arscast and this Arscast, and look at that, 12 minutes without a break. Jesus.
The football world was reeling today after it was revealed that Tottenham manager Harry Redknapp has got a twitch. Sources at Tottenham refused to comment, but when asked if he knew how Mr. Redknapp had gotten the twitch, Arsenal chairman Peter Hill-Wood said,
"How he got it, I don't know, and how he got it, I don't care. Look, all I know is he has got a twitch."
With the condition hereditary, Redknapp's son Jamie is said to be planking himself.
So the game in Villarreal was a costly one in terms of injuries, obviously, and yellow cards. Cesc got a yellow card, and I've just got this horrible, horrible feeling about that yellow card, you know, for taking that free kick quickly. I've got a horrible feeling about that yellow card. I don't know why, but it just struck me at the time that, I don't know, I don't even want to think about it. Anyway, injuries. Obviously, Almunia's done his ankle and is going to be out for somewhere in the region of 3 weeks. It's the same ankle that Elhadj Diouf went in with that tackle and obviously injured him. And it, yeah, obviously feeling the after effects of that, or it's still a little bit on the weak side. But the other main injury, I suppose, is William Gallas, who's going to miss the rest of the season, having done his medial knee ligaments. Arsene Wenger said he's a quick recoverer, but we think, you know, the end of the season is going to be just too soon for him. He has been really, really good in the last couple of months, Gallas, since having the captaincy taken away from him, and since all that was put behind him. The poor form he had at the start of the season, the poor partnership with Kolo Touré, it's all gone the other way. He's been very, very good. And I think we're really going to miss him. Despite my own issues with him, from a personal point of view, or just what I think of the way he behaved as captain and certain things he did as a footballer, I think we're going to miss him in the next couple of weeks, because coming into this final part of the season, you need guys who have been there and done that, and are experienced, and Gallas is one of those guys. He's won trophies at Chelsea. He's gone, he's won the league at Chelsea, hasn't he? So he's come into this final part of the season knowing what it takes, and he's just, you know, the right age and the right experience. Johan Giroud will come in, obviously, and he'll be a decent replacement, I think. Giroud played well when he came in earlier in the season, but obviously when Toure and Gallas had struck up a fairly good partnership, it's a shame to see them broken up. So that is a shame, and you wonder as well, given everything else that's gone on and the whispers that are going around and have been going around since Gallas had the captaincy taken off him, that we may have seen the last of him in an Arsenal shirt. I don't think, regardless of what happens between now and the end of the season, whether he had been fit.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's a brand new year, and what better time to get going with that online store you've been thinking of? Those "I was there when Arsenal actually scored a goal" t-shirts would fly off the shelves right now. And to get yourself up and running, you need Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way through to the did we hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort with thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 a month trial period at shopify.com/arsblog, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/arsblog now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/arsblog.
And played every game, I don't think too many people would be that surprised if we sold him. So given the fact he's out injured now, we may have seen the last of William Gallas in an Arsenal shirt. So we'll have to wait and see. Gael Clichy also out injured, which means his obvious replacement isn't necessarily Kieran Gibbs, but Mikhail Silvestre. But I wonder, given the fact that we've only really got Toure and Giroud as centre halves, I know Song can go in there and play there if needed. But given how rarely Diaby is fit, we might need Song in midfield more than we need him at centre-half. So you just wonder, maybe he'll play Gibbs a bit. But when you lose someone like Gallas, I think he'll try and replace that experience, again with the experience of Silvestre, somebody I'm not a huge fan of as a player. Wasn't a big fan of his when he was at Manchester United, and just because he's wearing an Arsenal shirt doesn't mean I rate him any higher as a footballer. However, if we've lost Gallas' experience, Sylvester's experience, maybe, might be the thing to replace it with. He's gone through it a number of times. He's won trophies and Champions League and what have you. Did he win Champions League with Man United? I don't know that he did he? I don't think he did, but he's certainly won the title and gone into those final weeks of the season knowing what it takes to do it. Whether he still has the ability to do what it takes remains to be seen. So, a little bit costly, the Villarreal game, in terms of injuries, and fingers crossed that Clichy and Almunia can get themselves fit sooner rather than later. So we'll look ahead to the Wigan game in a little bit. Also more information from Arsene Wenger about fitness regarding Thomas Rosicki and other bits too. Hello and welcome to Late Night on BBC Three. I'm your host, Aubrey St. John Constable. We're here for the next 2 hours and 47 minutes with a lively mix of discussion, intellectual debate, and beat poetry from Lenny Henry, who also comes to talk about his addiction to prawn cocktail walkers, and how that unseemly incident which saw Gary Lineker so very nearly raped in the face come to pass. But first, joining me on the show is Professor Gladstone Frottage from the University of South Croydon. He's the author of the book Facial Tics and Involuntary Movements. Welcome to the show, Professor Frottage.
Thank you. It's an absolute pleasure to be here.
So, Professor Frottage, you have dedicated your entire academic life to the study of people's facial movements, their tics, their twitches, if you will. Perhaps you could elucidate on how these symptoms might affect a person, their quality of life, etc., etc.
Well, for many people, the symptoms are quite day-to-day, very easy to deal with, not too much hysteria. But for others, the symptoms can be quite devastating, as you might imagine. If I might give you an example.
By all means.
For example, I deal with one patient. He suffered after contracting diphtheria and went to pick up his grandchild. And was doing coochie-coochie, look at the little baby. With the child, as one does, and involuntarily, the twitch, the facial movement, metamorphosized him almost into something that looked like, if you can imagine, an old leather satchel that's been passed down through generations, and stick some jowls onto it and some eyes. The child naturally became very afraid and now wants nothing more to do with his grandfather.
You mentioned there that the man developed this twitch after contracting an illness. Is this a common occurrence?
Well, yes, it can happen from time to time, certainly.
Perhaps in light of that, Dr. Frottage, you might do us the honour of examining the most famous twitch in England. It belongs, of course, to the manager of Tottenham Hotspur's football club. It's Mr. Harry Redknapp. If I might ask, do you have any idea how his twitch might have come about?
Well, I have to say, Mr. Redknapp has been a client of ours for many years. Unfortunately, with regards to his twitch, how he got it, we don't know. And to be very honest with you, how he got it, we don't care. All we know is that he has got a twitch.
Dr. Gladstone Frottage from the University of South Croydon, thank you for joining us on the show. Now we go to our arts correspondent, Simon Littleton, the third, who brings us news of a new book by footballer Ashley Cole, My Guide to Tea Towel Holders. Arsene Wenger was asked in his press conference, which took place yesterday, because today obviously is Good Friday, so there was no press conferencing going on. This is one of the things Jesus wanted to put a stop to when he was on earth, you know. No press conferences and no using the church for money and things. So there's no... Yeah, his press conference was yesterday, anyway. And he was asked about Thomas Rosicki, and he said he's not close to coming back. So I think any hopes, any faint hope that anybody might have had of seeing Rosicki this season is completely and utterly out the window. I reckon it's probably better, you know, just to get him slowly back. Obviously slowly, I mean, obviously. And get a good preseason under his belt and try and bring him back into the team at the start of next season, provided, of course, that everything's okay. He reckons his knee's all right. It's just his groins and what have you. Goalkeeping, obviously Łukasz Fabianski will be taking over. But you would sort of hope and maybe light a little candle that no injury happens to him, because after him, we've got the Italian guy, Manone. And then we've got the other Polish goalkeeper, whose name is extremely difficult to pronounce, but because I've had a couple of beers, I can pronounce it perfectly. His name, of course, is... and that's in my best Warsaw accent, you know. So if Fabianski gets injured and Manone gets injured, then we've got to get... into the team, and yeah, that could be... And he just broke all his arms, all four of them. But it is a good opportunity, I suppose, for Fabianski, because he's been sitting on the bench playing in the cup games, and, you know, he's got ambitions to be the number one keeper, and maybe he's a bit flappy, but he's still very young for a keeper. He's got to learn. Look at the difference between Almunia 3 years ago and Almunia now, from playing more football and getting more experienced, etc., etc. So, while I wouldn't say Fabianski was top class or anything just yet, We've got to give him a chance, don't we? And I was saying to somebody today, maybe, just maybe, he could be the Manninger of this season. You remember how brilliant Manninger was in the 97-98 season when he came in for Seaman? It was just unbelievable. Guy came in and he was just inspired. So maybe that kind of thing only happens once in a lifetime. But you never know, do you? You probably do know. A quick look ahead to the Wigan game and the potential for returns in a moment.
Welcome to Tales of the Unexpected on the Ozblog Ozcast.
Hello, my name is George, and I've got another tale of the unexpected for you. This week I was going along the road and I said to myself, Jesus, there's a big expensive house. I wonder who lives there. Must be the Queen. And then I realised it couldn't be the Queen because it wasn't Buckingham Palace, because there was no Japanese tourists outside and there was no fellas wearing the big fuzzy hats. So I thought to myself, I'll have a look here and see who it might be. So I took a sneak over the wall and there in the garden, well, it was Harry Redknapp. Ah, hello, Harry, says I. How's it going there? Who are you, says he. I said, hello, my name is George. I'm a wheeler dealer like yourself. I buy things for one price and sell them on for another. And maybe, just maybe, and I could only be referring to myself here for legal issues, stick a bit of it in my back pocket, you know what I'm saying? Nod, nod, wink, wink, and all that. What are you selling, he said. Maybe I'd be into it. Right, says I, you wouldn't want to buy a few Xboxes, would you? No, says he, I don't know the first thing about them computer games. What about iPhones, I said, I've loads of those things. Do you want an iPhone? They're great. If you're lost, you can find yourself on a map and everything. Nah, he says, I'm not into that. What about, I know what you might like, Harry, says I. I've got Jason Dazelle here, would you like to buy him? No, says Harry. Jesus Christ, I go. It's costing me a fucking fortune to keep him. I'm going to cut him the minute I get out of here. Well, what about, this lump of tin? Would you like that, Harry? No, he says, look, I'm not interested in any of your wares at all. All right, so fair enough, says I. And then I realised. I said, Harry, what's wrong with you? What do you mean, says he. I says, you've been standing there talking to me now for a couple of minutes, and your head hasn't gone from one side to the other involuntarily. Your eyebrows haven't been going up and down. It doesn't look like you're blinking all the time, and your face muscles are completely relaxed and don't look like you've got electrodes shoved up your arse, making them twitch all the time. Jesus Christ, says Harry. That is unexpected to me. I said, you can't, that's my line, you fucker. Anyway, I'll pop back another day. When does Louise be coming around? Thursdays, is it? She's coming around for a bit of dinner, eh? I'm going to pop around then, Harry, you know. Just to say hello, like.
Yeah. So, Wigan tomorrow at the JJB. We struggled to beat them at home. It was that game when all that Abue stuff happened. So if he plays, he'll be dying to, I don't know, do a dance. I think he only plays football so he can score goals and do dancing in front of loads of people. He probably will be just as happy as a dancer, you know. The Emmanuel Abue dance troupe. Maybe with yo-yos. Remember those people that used to go to school and they'd have the Coca-Cola yo-yos or I don't... Yeah, he could be one of those guys. Do the walk the dog in his tracksuit and do some, I don't know, tail spins and that kind of dancing. Maybe I'm doing him a disservice. Anyway, we've got the game against Wigan. There are fitness tests for Eduardo and fitness tests for Robin van Persie. They have a chance to be part of the squad, and obviously with the amount of games we have coming up, the more we can rotate and give people a little rest here and there, the better. Wigan are a decent side. They've had a good season. Maybe not doing so well in the last few weeks, but they're at home. They're playing against one of the big teams, and I don't ever really remember us giving them a proper hiding or having a terribly easy game up there. Remember Henry scoring? Did he score a hat-trick there one time? But the game ended up 3-2, I think. I think, what's his name? Rocky Dennis or Bullard was playing for them at that stage. So we'll wait and see what happens in terms of team news. But 3 o'clock Saturday, kickoff. Villarreal next week, it's not till Wednesday. So there's not much I can do in terms of previewing that. We all know how the game is. And God knows what's going to happen on Saturday. Who we might have injured out for Wednesday. We just keep our fingers crossed, I think, that not too many more... get crocked, and that's really about it. So I think I'm going to leave it there, because I've been talking for way too long, you know. Nearly half an hour now, with all the other bits bashed in. It's much easier when you've got a guest, because they can do a lot of the talking, and I can sit here and go, yes, good point, That is an awful lot easier. So we'll leave it there for this week. Have yourselves a very good weekend, a very good Easter weekend, bank holidays all over the place. So enjoy your extra drinking time. Of course, today being Good Friday in Ireland means that you're not allowed to go to the pub because they're closed. Seriously. This is 2009 and you can't go to a bar and get a drink on Good Friday in Ireland. But that is a whole other rant. And probably one that is best left for somewhere else, I think, and not here. So have yourselves a very good Easter weekend. Talk to you, of course, on the blog all next week, all weekend, and on next week's Irishcast. Goodbye.
Hey, it's great to be here. This is a track from my new album. It's called Twitch. He's got a Twitch. He's got a Twitch. Harry Redknapp has got a Twitch. How he got it, we don't know. How he got it, we don't care. All we know is he has got a Twitch. Thank you. Thank you. You're a great audience.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.